Haji, to be honest with you, I don't know where you've walked, but everywhere that I've walked in Barbados, certainly I've been around cricket in Barbados. And this weekend it was at the finals, et cetera, and I would have gotten support. But that's really not what I settled to do. As an analyst, Andrew, you work with the data that is in front of you, and you come with a plausible explanation or solution for why the data may be pointing in one direction or the other. And basically, at the end of the day, that's all that I did, and I ventured to do, and I make it a note since I would have started my career, Andrew, and thanks to you again, because if I remember correctly, actually my first commentary stint was in a test match in 2018 when West Indies played Sri Lanka down here.
Right.
And, you know, when it speaks to my qualifications, I wonder sometimes, because I remember commentating for the first time in that lovely media center. I was watching Jason Holder in operation, and he was in pink ball, and he was passing the outside edge pretty consistently. He wasn't getting much wickets. Going on to the end of the day, and they sent him a message. They said, Jason, you know, in the morning, I'd like to have a word with you down by the boundary ropes. And so said, so done. And they just suggested to him, I believe he should come a little wider on the crease, because the angle that he was creating, he wasn't creating an angle, rather, when he was bowling basically from alongside the umpire. And I find it just comes a bit wider, sends that outswinger with the same shape. He may very well look for the edges. He may very well find the edges that he's been looking for. And lo and behold, he got a 10-wicket, not much. And we don't have to go on how he's gone on from there. That's not to say to take credit for it, but that's the fact that a West Indies captain actually listened to someone who obviously is a lesser player than him. Everyone, Andrew, has an opinion on cricket, and everyone is a stakeholder in West Indian cricket. And I certainly will not stand by or run away from a challenge. I will always be true to myself and my data, and I stand by my comments insofar as they were supposed to be constructive. I also spoke to the A team project, which I thought was very, very, very necessary for players like Sheahope, etc., who obviously, if they don't find their way in test cricket at a particular point, they need to play more cricket with the red ball, etc. And that's not happening. And frankly, Rose made a very good point again. What's happening with Sheahope now that he's not in the international arena? Are we to assume that he's out there practicing on some flaws that I may have pointed out, or somebody else, obviously, with a higher pay grade would be able to show him? Or is it an issue with his mentality? Is it an issue with the fact that he hasn't played much red ball cricket, etc.? And these are a lot of questions that people will put forward to be answered, Andrew. So, quite frankly speaking, I really don't care what the detractors say. I'm pretty true to my data and my knowledge, my confidence that what I've brought so far, as far as being an analyst is concerned, especially a young guy just out of first class cricket, so to speak, has to bring, and it will stay true to myself.
Okay, very, very interesting response. What are we going to do? We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we see Tony Gray, who's in the... And by the way, Tony Gray was only recently fired as the chairman of selectors there in Trinidad. Tony, you lost your pick. How could that have happened? Of course, when we come back on Mason and Guest, we look at it. Mason and Guest is brought to the association with our very good friends at Barbados, not to promote youth sport and culture.
When the double draw, you're playing with the mega ball. It's tripling, you can triple your winnings just for one more dollar. Bronze mega ball,
30,000.
Silver mega ball,
40,000.
Gold mega ball,
50,000.
More and more and more, you're winning. Put down another dollar, and when you win, you holler. That's how you triple it with the mega ball.
Make your winnings even bigger. Call for the mega ball today. Promotion ends December 26, 2020.
The mega ball.
All right, and without any further ado, let's go to Trinidad and Tobago. I don't know if it's raining cats and dogs and pigs and sheep in Trinidad. We've had a lot of rain in Barbados. I know what's been happening in Jamaica. Franklin Rose is losing all of his crops, even his ackee and his saltfish. He doesn't get that anymore. All those lovely June plums there down in Clarendon, our good friend Mr.
Mango
is losing there in St. Elizabeth, the Garden. No, the Garden Parish is what? That's St. Anne, I think. St. Anne is the Garden Parish, yes, of course. Let's go to our good friend Tony Gray. Tony, before we talk West Indies cricket, you were fired. What happened there in Trinidad? You lost your pick.
Well, good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to your panel, and good evening to your listeners and viewers. Not fired, not reappointed. Myself and Keno Mason. I'm obviously was chairman of selectors, and Keno Mason was in his first stint, his first year as a selector. I don't know what happened. I'm here to be given an intelligent explanation. Nothing has been said to me. My report, my season report was handed in. It was a very comprehensive report, and it wasn't replied to. I also sent a letter concerning one of the players in discipline, a senior player, and that wasn't replied to. So I'm not sure what has happened, but it's very disappointing because I am not just about Trinidad Bigos cricket and the elevation of Trinidad Bigos cricket, but obviously because it's a strong arm of West Indies cricket, it's about trying to resurge West Indies cricket again. So very disappointed because we laid a platform and we did very well this year.
Mm-hmm. So how was that information communicated to you? Did they write to you, or someone called and said you don't
know?
Someone
someone called me from the board and said, well, they're downsizing the selection panel,
right?
And they're going with three selectors, and I have not been chosen along with Keno Mason. You have Richard Kelly Jr., a new selector, and you have two relatively new selectors in Mahadeo Budu, and the chairman of selectors, Rajendra Mangali.
Mangali, okay. You must be very disappointed, Tony, about these events.
Yeah, I think that when you look at a selector and then the chairman of selectors, it's a very important job. You know, I believe in institutional memory, and I believe in keeping people around who have served, you know, diligently and who have a passion for improving young people's lives, especially young men in my case.
Mm.
And I've shown that in the most emphatic way. It's not about money, because we weren't paid. We were given a stipend.
Okay.
It's about really making a contribution, an indelible contribution to the development of, you know, cricket in mm-hmm. general, sport in general,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, by extension, West Indies cricket, because you need people with the institutional memory, but mm-hmm. you need people with a passion also.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Barrett, you may have a story. I mean, it's an old story now, but you would have heard, of course, the former chairman, the operative word being former chairman. But I always told Tony that his job was going to be on the line. He lost his pick. Franklin, your good friend Tony Gray's lost his job.
Well, he tried to, last time I played against him, he tried to knock my head off, so I'm not going to sorry for it.
So I remember that, because you also tried to knock my head off.
I was trying to get the West Indies pick, Tony.
Me too.
So we had to drink after the game.
Dr. Ford, any questions?
Yes, well, I'll go to Bharat. As far as the series is concerned, Williamson and Bolt will be rested for the T20s, and also Munro isn't going to be available. Since this will be the start, the first international bit of cricket for a long time, do you think that maybe the West Indies would have a better chance at the start to cause the upset here in the T20 series?
Upset?
Yeah, I'm with Franklin there. I think they start as favorites, if you know, like it's T20 cricket, and the West Indies have been quite consistent at it. Maybe not so much in bilaterals as they have been in ICC events. But like you said, New Zealand, the last time they played a T20 series at home, that was against India earlier this year, they lost 5-0.
Oh, dear.
And again, they did not have Kane Williamson for most of those games. Tim Southee was captain. But having Trent Bolt not in the squad because he's resting after a great show in the IPL is a huge loss. So they have like a lot of newish names in their squad. Like if you want, we could just talk about a couple. Like Devon Conway is the batting Neil Wagner. I mean, we've seen a lot of South Africans go to England and make their international debuts there. So he's one who, like Neil Wagner, like Colin Monro, like a few others, has moved to New Zealand. And that seems to be the new base for a lot of South Africans who don't seem to be able to make the grade in their own country. So he's one of those, but he's been like topping the batting averages in all formats for the last 3 years. It's a great story. He's Devon Conway, sold everything off in South Africa. And he moved there just like 3 or 4 years ago. And like to play all your cricket in one country, and then within 3 years to be making your debut for another country. It's a great story there, which is good. The cricket world is shrinking, which is in a way not a bad thing. But the bowling is they all bowl at a pace, especially at T20 level, which the West Indian batsmen should enjoy. It comes onto the bat really well. Tim Southee, I've always believed, has never been the greatest T20 bowler. In fact, he has like an outrageous record in super overs. whenever he's bowled a super over, they've lost. And he keeps taking the super over as captain. So I think West Indies start very strong, okay, if not favorites, but they have a very good chance of winning this series, Doctor. And like, you know, even some others. I think the big threat that in this series is one guy who doesn't get spoken about much is Kyle Jamieson, because I don't know how much you guys have seen of Kyle Jamieson. He's like a... He's like a right-arm Bruce Reed, if you guys remember. I'm sure Tony and Frank will remember. Mm-hmm. He's not the quickest, but he uses his height really well. Sort of like Jason Holder, but slightly quicker. Mm-hmm. But he moves the ball off the pitch, moves it in the air. He could be like a dark horse, like someone that nobody like talks about, but could be the star. Because he bowled New Zealand to victory in the two test matches against India and even in the one-dayers. So, he is dangerous, but Colin Munro has been like left out of the contracts and he's decided to go come here to Australia and play the Big Bash League. So, but he's not been in form for the longest time. So, you look up and down that T20 squad, really, guys. West Indies should start as favourites. If anything, Mitch Santner and Ish Sodhi with like the spin options, again, they're guys who just are flat. They're not like mystery spinners. There's no mystery about them. So I really think the West Indies would be disappointed if they don't win the series.
Mm-hmm. But I know, just before you come in, Doc, I know that Nikita Miller has promised that he was only going to spend a couple minutes with us. So we're not going to keep him too much longer. I know, Nikita, you've got a lot of things going on there in Jamaica. So, Doc, we're going to certainly come back to Bharat. But let's wrap it now with Nikita. Nikita, before you go, the T20, you expect the West Indies to win the T20, Nikita?
Well, first a little pointer. We have always struggled. We have struggled in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
But our number of tours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you look on paper, as you know, the previous speaker said just now, we should start as favorites. But over the years when we toured New Zealand, we haven't really done, our favorite tag service. So listen, we will have to play our best cricket, right? It's played on the park, and we should have enough in the squad to go over to win the series. Mm-hmm. But we have to take note that the last time we played there, we got beaten 3-0, and the previous time we got beaten as well. So, and I played in the previous, which is I think about 2013,
mm-hmm.
or yeah, thereabouts. We lost, and the last one we lost 3-0 as well. So, and we had a decent team those times. What's in our favor this time around is that Bolt is not starting, and what's his name? Williams is not playing.
Right,
Munro is not playing. These are some of the guys who
mm-hmm.
who was really dangerous, you know. So hopefully we can take those as positives and try and drive home this series victory.
Mm. And the final thing to you, you say that you are working with the Jamaica side in terms of preparation for the possible 50-over competition. And that, of course, well, we're hearing it's going to be in February. Preparations have been going okay so far, Nikita?
Yeah, preparation has been going well so far. You know, the greatest thing is that we had a COVID case earlier in the year about Dennis out on the CPL. He has fully recovered. He's with many cases. You know, we're observing the protocols.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're training in groups. We're not training yet as a whole team. So different groups come at different times. So we break them up in about 3-4 groups and come at different time slots. And, you know, we're making it so far.
Mm-hmm. I see. All right. Well, thanks to you for coming through and talking to us, Nikita. We hope that we can get you back some of the time and continue to enjoy the rest of your evening there in the land of wood and water. Thank you very much indeed, Nikita.
All right. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. Good. So there you have it. Nikita Miller, the former West Indies left arm spinner. A lot of people felt he might have played a little bit more. But he is very much with the Jamaica side, so we want to thank you for coming through and talking to us as well. Yes, Doc, let's go back to you. I know you had another question.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know when I asked the question, I said the upset. I could hear someone exclaim upset, but I said that the background that New Zealand is ranked sixth in the T20s and the West Indies, I believe, ninth.
Right.
But when you look at our record since 2018, we've won only about 5 out of 16 T20s. So our record doesn't suggest, in spite of history of winning 2 World T20s, that we are a team that, you know, people would be shaking in their boots to come up against. Mm-hmm. But I talk about Devin Conway, and that's an interesting story that a guy from...
He had a lot of friends. Now, we have a lot of South Africans who moved to New Zealand in the last few years to play first-class cricket. Some have played international, but some haven't. So apparently, he just was encouraged by those guys to follow suit and join him in New Zealand, maybe give it a shot. So... different lifestyle. So apparently he moved, he had to downsize, he had sold all his fancy cars in South Africa, or all these posh cars. He had one car, one apartment with his partner. Of course, it's very important to have an understanding partner in these circumstances. She agreed, you know, at the moment he said we have to move. And yeah, I mean, he's just been a different cricketer really since he moved, which we've seen with Colin Munro, Neil Wagner as well, who struggled to make any kind of breakthrough in South Africa. So he had to move. And yeah, New Zealand is very welcoming of these guys, and he's done a great job. So it's exciting to, he's waited and waited and waited to make this debut. So he'll be really hungry. There are some surprises that he's not in the test squad as well, because people expected him to be there, but at least we'll get to see him in the T20. Mm-hmm. And again, Doc, I agree with you. Yeah, it seems like also, if you look at it, it's only in ICC events that the West Indian T20 team seems to come together. Suddenly you find Pollard and Russell, everybody just like rock up for these events and win the tournament. And then not all of them play bilateral T20I. So maybe the records have something to do with it. But it's been a year of Karan Pollard. He's won every tournament he's entered. So, you know, maybe there is, as captain of this T20 team, maybe he's there to change the fortunes.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Let's now go. But we're going to continue to be in Australia, because I know with interest that Dennis Waith is on Zoom as well, the legendary trainer. Hello. Good evening to you, Dennis. How are you?
Not too bad, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, that's a big, powerful voice there. Do have you ever met Tony Gray? Tony, do you know Dennis?
Unfortunately, I have.
Yes, unfortunately, I know Dennis because he woke me up 5 o'clock in the morning in Australia to go for a run.
Talk to us about that, Dennis.
Well, I had a hangover, see.
How have you been doing, Dennis?
No, I had to prepare.
How have you been doing?
I had a hangover and I had to prepare for the next night.
How are you doing, Dennis? How are you doing in Australia?
Surviving, sir. Surviving. Not a problem, really. We've been very, very fortunate with the COVID down here. So Queensland's functioning fairly good, and I'm enjoying life, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Franklin Rose, very, very fit indeed. Frank, we're going to come back to you. Of course, it's good to have Dennis with us. How important is fitness in cricket, Franklin? You were always a fit man and still continue to be. In fact, you're a model as well. I mean, you might have resigned from that position, but you know about fitness, Franklin. Talk to us, Frankie.
Well, Dennis will tell you about it. Yeah, fitness is very important. You know, as a fast bowler, you have to trust your body and have confidence in your body, because when you go up there and standing in the field for all day, especially in a test match, coming back after tea and you want to bowl a spell, 5 overs, you're going to trust your body. So fitness is very important. Unfortunately, Dennis overworked us back in the days. But
Dennis, is that true?
Oh, I was very soft with them, really. You know, I thought I'd look at some of them and I thought had pity on them, so I eased off a lot. I started to get soft. That was a problem, but never mind. They respond. No, the boys went well. I think I was a fair trainer. I really didn't. I put too much pressure on them. I thought I gave them a program that would I'd think, see them through, especially test matches, mm-hmm. you know, and prepare their body for a long series, bowl, you know, as Lloyd used to say, he wants them to be sharp at the last over of the day. And if you don't do your homework and train hard, do your stretching, be flexible, eat the right foods, you won't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
I don't think we had that. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry. We didn't have fitness problem those days. I think, you know, I was happy to be amongst Walsh, Ambrose, and some of the time, Bishop. We didn't have any problem with fitness, and we're very thankful mm-hmm. to have one of the greatest trainers in the world, which was Dennis. Mm. Not because he's there, but we didn't have any fitness problem at all. You know, what we need to back up our fitness was our confidence, you know, back ourselves to bowl a short ball to this batsman, not afraid, you know, if he's going to hook you for a six or a four, but no problem with fitness. We were very confident in that department. You know, we were happy, we were confident, and we just looked forward to bowl, you know. We didn't want to bat, we just want to go out there and bowl mm-hmm. because we were strong, we were fit, and we trust our body. We have all that confidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I agree with that, Rosie. Definitely. I think that was the back of my mind when I was preparing the players. I thought, you know, you get them fit, they feel good, they think they can beat the world, and you go out and respond out in the field. And it's all confidence, and it's all, when you're confident, you play very well. If you play very well with the side we had, we're going to win. So it was a simple thing, really.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, if you had to deal with someone like a Cornwall, I mean, I'm sure you've seen him. I mean, he's a very, very big guy. I would imagine pretty close to 300 pounds. You think you may have a problem with Cornwall in terms of getting him fit?
Well, I tell you what, the biggest challenge I had once was when we were doing some carries and I was carrying Ian Bishop, but I think that would be the end of that. I think I'd have trouble lifting him and carrying him 100 metres.
Yes, he's a big guy. Very, very.
You know, I'd say when I lifted him, I would say I would be 5'8". After the 100 metres, I might be about 4'1".
Yes, Barrett, any final comments?
I thought, you know, the boy is a big boy. He's got a bit of action, but, you know, I heard Lance Gibbs talking about it. You know, he would definitely be better if you could lose a few kilos and rip off a lot of kilos. He'd be more flexible. His rhythm would be better. So it would really help him if he could do that.
Mm-hmm. You agree with that, Tony? You'd like to see Cornwall?
The thing about it, let me just say, first of all, I think that Dennis Weed got a lot of players who were strong already, who had the athleticism, who had the passion for training because of our lifestyles. Mm. And that's why I keep on saying, do the research. Now, what Dennis did was expanded and magnified our professionalism. Mm-hmm. And Franklin is right, because there's a psychological impact to hard physical training. If you don't train hard and things happen on the field where you have to, you know, go back to your inner self and your psychological strength, you're going to be in problems. So Dennis Waite expanded and magnified our already fitness level because of our lifestyle, but gave us that mindset to go out there and work hard. The thing with Cornwall, people have to understand that Cornwall is always big. I asked a question that has never been answered. Mm-hmm. Is Cornwall's problem genetical? Because if it's genetical, it's going to be very difficult to lose the weight. If it's not, then why hasn't he lost the weight since the under 19 level? Because I was there with the Trinobago on the 19 team, and he was always big. Mm-hmm. Not as big as he is now, but I share Lance Gibbs' opinion, and that was a discussion on this program, Andrew. A fast bowling coach discussing spinners. Mm. The thing about him is that if he looked at his mechanics, Cornwall's mechanics, he's a big guy. He takes two steps and it puts a lot of pressure on his body. He had a knee operation earlier this year, not a serious one, but he still had some pressure on that knee. My thing with him is that early on in his career, he should have been coached, you know, with better mechanics, giving him at least 4 or 5 steps. Spinners who can rip the ball, they don't only use their wrist and their fingers, but obviously their body. And you can't use your body if you're running from 2 steps.
Oh, all right. Stay with us. Of course, we're going to come to Jamal. I know that Barrett is going to have... are you going to have lunch now? What time is it there in Australia again? Tell me. What time is it again?
Oh, it's 9:40 here in Adelaide. I think it would be 9:10 in Brisbane where Dennis is.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's getting that time. I need to make lunch for the wife before...
Right, okay. No. Just before you go, though... in terms of that series, of course, Australia up against India, there must be tremendous interest there in Australia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Virat Kohli is all over the papers here. Like, I don't think he's been covered as much as he's been here as it is in India. Because Indian papers, yeah, Virat Kohli is a big name. But here you turn on the TV, Virat Kohli is on the screen. You pick up the newspaper, Virat Kohli is everywhere. And he's going to play just one test and go back home, of course, for the birth of his child. Mm. So the fact that he's here only for one half of the tour means that it's just the most hyped up series in a long, long time. Dennis would agree. And yeah, hopefully it lives up to the hype. But now with this new outbreak in Adelaide, we still don't know whether... we'll see the schedule stay or it'll change. But yeah, there is a lot of hype. And before I leave, Andrew, I just wanted to, since we have Dennis on, I remember interviewing him a long, long time ago, and he told me the story, sticking to Adelaide, about how one morning West Indies needed 6 wickets and he got like Garner, Croft, Marshall and Holding to run up and down the hill just to get them fired up and angry. And then they apparently blew the Australians away. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to leave on that note, and thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, of course, we're going to have you again very, very soon. You're a valuable resource, and we want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. And enjoy the rest of your morning, and make a good lunch for your wife. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, good luck to
you. All right. Good. Bye. Wonderful. All right. Tony Gray, the man from Santa Cruz. Of course, Jamal. Jamal, we're getting some interesting reactions to what you just said, and a lot of people have supported what you were saying in relation to your conctor after we had a situation where that article came up from Sportsmax. And in my chat there, the group chat, many people were, as we were saying, Beijing parlance, cussing you for your comments and saying all kinds of things about you. But you got very good support indeed. Now, Jamal, let's look at the series. Franklin Rose, we're going to look as well at the conditions you've played there before. Jamal, do you think we've got the goods to win the T20, and do you think we've got the goods to win the Test Series? Talk to me.